Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I am going to be with you for about 58 minutes. I would like to make a special, take a couple minutes of Representative Barrett. Thank you to all the people who texted, cards, different email. Excuse me, about my brother Bernie passing. He died the Thursday before Thanksgiving in Florida, and there will be services in Florida this month in January, and then there will be services here in the spring, and I'll keep you all posted. But it really touched my entire family of how many people knew Bernie and thought a lot of him. Now, without further ado, foie gras, soup du jour, I do want to say the guy you see sitting in front of you with here, he is a friend. But he's also State Representative John Barrett, and he's from Northern Berkshire. And Representative Barrett, I have to congratulate you and the entire legislature. I think it was a productive session for us, the people. What was your high point, or not high point, but what was some of the good times in this session of the legislature?
Well, I think first and foremost, we didn't raise anybody's taxes. And in the 7+ years I've been down there, I can say that we have not raised taxes. In fact, we'd actually reduce taxes. Yeah. And I think the other thing, too, is we understand the burden on a lot of the property taxpayers that when there are cuts made in programs and things like that, it falls back to the people at the local level and the local governments, and they have to raise taxes and things like that. So that's a real problem that is out there. We've tried to deal with the best way we could, but I think in this legislature we passed a great veterans bill, you know, the hero. And
as a veteran, thank you.
Yeah, and this is one state I think we have the best veterans benefits around. We recognize the service of the men and women who have served our country. And those that, even if they hadn't been in combat, it doesn't matter. They've given up in sometimes 3-4 years of their life, for their country. And it's admirable. So there's a lot of good things that we're done in that area. You know, we've addressed mental health problems that are out there. We don't hide from that anymore. I see more and more families are dealing with it. We've tried to improve our drug issues out there by adding more services and getting more programs and resources available to those at the local level. And of course, the housing issue has been a problem from day one, it seems, and from the Berkshires to Cape Cod. So we've tried to address all those issues. Do we always get things out in a timely basis? No, but I can say when we do get it out there, it's done in the right way. And you know what? Everybody doesn't has some words to say about the legislature or politicians in general. And I always consider, I hate that word politician. I've always looked upon myself as someone who's, a public servant and tried to do the best we can for the people we represent. You know, there are times when we get off base and that happens. But overall, I think we've done an excellent job. And it's difficult for us out here in the Berkshires, you know, the travel that we have to make in, and sometimes our voice has to be heard above the maddening crowd, as they say, and to make sure that our needs are met out here. And, you know, even with the farmers, we've paid attention to the farmers.
That's wonderful. And
making sure that we keep them in business. And, you know, I think the one disappointment was that the administration cut the HIP program because they say it ran out of money. Yes, it ran out of money, but so doesn't fuel assistance run out of money. And what happens when we run out of money? We replenish it. And that's what should have been done. We didn't run out of it, as some of the local newspapers like to say, because we didn't fund it enough. We ran out of it because so many people needed it.
That's right.
That hadn't had it before. So, and these are difficult times for a lot of people. You know, we're coming out of the COVID situation still to this day. The impacts of it, and it's been detrimental to a lot of people's lives. So, but I've always gone into politics, or one of the reasons why I've gone into politics, and hung around as long as I have is because I just enjoy helping people wherever we can. And I don't say that in a self-serving way. I'm very sincere when I say that. There's nothing better feeling for me and some of my colleagues than helping people that have a problem, because even though that problem may seem small in the big scheme of things, to that individual, it's
That's
very
right.
important. It can have an impact on their lives. So it's been an interesting time down there. Let me tell you something. Moving from a mayor's office into the legislature, it was a culture shock, put it that way.
Well, two things I want to share with you. One, I was at Job Lots up in is it North Adams?
Where is that? Yeah.
Whatever, Ocean State, whatever it is. And a lady came up to me and said, "Are you the guy on the radio and television?" And I said, "Yeah." She said, "Well, I want to tell you, thank you for interviewing John Barrett. He was my mayor. Nobody else is her personal mayor." And she had some problems. She didn't get into it. But she said to me, "I called the mayor's office and I spoke with the mayor. And he straightened out my problem." So there you go. You'll have, I'll see how I look it up. One more person at my wake. You know? But
No.
it,
Well,
yeah, it,
I just
from
I'm
a,
sorry, it's just like when I say, someone did a great job as mayor or
yes.
representative or anything else, and several years ago, and they said, "What a great job!" And so I looked at him and I basically said, "Do you remember who that was?" And they said, "No," and I says, "I don't either." But and I think that's the way it is in life and politics and everything else that we're going. You have to understand too, if you're doing it for because you want prestige or anything else, you know what? You get prestige and a buck and a half will get you a coffee someplace, small one, no doubt. But you just can't be bothered by that. But there are people out there that I really do enjoy helping them, and it makes a difference. That's what it's all about. It really is. A lot of my colleagues, they're good reps. They have good staffs and stuff like that, but they concentrate on the big issues and the bills and stuff like that. I like to get into the weeds and what we're down there for, because you know what? I don't have any constituents in that state house. My constituents are back here, so.
As Tip O'Neill once told, I think I've told you the story in his book, Man of the House. A new rep came up to him and he said, Congressman came up to him and said, "Sir, the whip is on me to vote for this project. And sir, with all due respect, my constituents don't want it." And he said, "Who put you here, kid?" He said, "My constituents." He said, "Then that's the way you vote. I'll take care of the whip." Yeah,
That's
of
true.
course, I paraphrase, but the culmination of what you just said, you know. And I think sometimes where we're at, you know, I have, and we've talked about this, I have relatives born and raised in South Boston, and they think coming out here, they pack an overnight bag, a cooler, they bring extra blankets. Not anymore, but when I was a kid, that's how we would go visit them. So, thank you for all the reps that go down there and the senator that just makes us known.
Yeah, it's and I'm fortunate. I think I'm one of the few left that have been involved and still be involved after, nearly 6 decades, actually serving in 6 decades of public service. And I look back and I say, my God, when I think of it, the governor, when I came in and got him started to get involved in anything, was a Francis Sargent. No one knows who Francis Sargent was. And and the Speaker of the House was David Bartley, and the Senate President was Morris Donahue, and both of them were from the city of Holyoke. One, and that's unheard of, where you have a Senate President and a Speaker of the House both from the same city. And we did well in those days, and we did receive funds, and a lot of good things were happening. But I think of all the governors that I've known and served under. It's just an amazing story. If I ever get time, I'm going to write it. But it just because there's nobody left. When I think about it, nobody in the state house that's now there was ever there when I was first elected mayor. I mean, it's they're you know, they just haven't been around that long, but I do know a lot of them. And you know what's fun sometimes? A lot of them will come up to me and say, "Did you know this one? Did you know that one?" And this and that. But you know, I've been very privileged. I'll tell you, I'm grateful. You know, I came out of the smallest city in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. I led the Mayor's Association on two different occasions, and I had fun doing it because one of the reasons I chuckle a little bit, I really didn't have a lot of warriors standing behind me when I raised these issues, but I raised issues that they all wanted to talk about and say, my colleagues, and they had to be said. And we were successful in many ways. When you tell someone that you got $35 million for a Museum of Contemporary Art in the city of North Adams and it was going to save our economy, they would laugh. But we were able to do it, but it's because of good people in government. See, nothing happens without politicians. I'd say they're critical sometimes, but you know, nothing really happens without a politician. Look at Richie Neal has done so wonderful things. I mean, the Social Security reforms that they just passed last month, you know, not just a few weeks ago, actually. Is that very important to people, and he worked hard on that. But you know what? You don't see him out doing a press conference. You don't see him out there saying, "I got this
Never
done
been
for
on a
you."
Sunday morning program.
No. And he doesn't want to. He just goes out there and he does his damn job, and he does it in a most effective way. And there's a lot of other public servants. Now there's a lot of different ones out there too, but I point to the fact that they are the ones that get things done for the people. Silvio Conti was the same way, a different party, but he really had no party. He was the guy that was out there working for both sides of the aisle, and he was out there working for people no matter what. He never asked you who'd you vote for in the last election or what's your party affiliation. He just got it done, and he's a fine example of what a political leader should be. We need more of that today, not
I
those
think,
that want to be on Facebook and this and that.
I think, John, you're of, please take this as a compliment. You and Congressman Neal, and several of the older Congress people and legislative people. There are not a lot of old legislative people left, so in the mass legislature, but you're a different breed. You got in it for a purpose other than yourself. I watched some of these, both sides, some of these people on television in Washington, and say, dude. Where's Sil Conti? When I was there, where's Ted Kennedy? I don't care whether you liked them or not. They weren't there for themselves. They were there for the people. And one last thing about Congressman Neal. He comes on this program almost monthly. I'm not some big NBC people, but he talks. The feedback I get anytime, like you're on or he's on, or it's truly rewarding for the people. And it's me, my humble little program, but we get, because people want to hear it from you, the legislator, not some spin one way or the other. I don't spin.
No,
Tell it right out.
it doesn't. You know,
I
in the
can't
big
remember.
scheme of things, the
At my age,
big
I can't
scheme of
remember what I said yesterday, so there you go.
well, we all have that problem, but you know, age is has its benefits and it has its drawbacks, and you know, but you know, the my rodeo has been a good rodeo that I've had for a long time, and I certainly appreciate it. And again, it's the people, and what I'm pleased with is it's crossed through several generations, you know, I guess not generations, but several, you know, decades of public service and people that I've had to deal with. And the old saying in politics is, you know, well, all of his supporters are dying off. Well, you know, I've gone through a lot of them, and but you. But if you do a good job, you pick up their children, then you pick up their children's children, and you
That's
pick up
right.
your children's children, you know, and they look for that. People want to know that they can call somebody and get some help. Do we always succeed? No, not at all. But at least you try the best you can. And I've got two staff people that are just terrific. I have one
Yes,
in
they are.
Berkshire, right here in the Berkshires, and I have one in Boston, and they're on it, and they know what they have to do, and they know where they have to go. So
Yeah.
it's a big thing. That's a big train biggest training thing that I provided to my staff people, is that when someone calls in, you got to know where to go to get the help. And they've been able to adapt to that, so, which is, I think, is great. So.
Yeah, no, you are, and to have someone that was a mayor and had to take all these decisions and put them into action. I mean, I think the difference is the legislature talks about doing it and votes on doing it, but the mayors and the city councils and the select people, they're the ones that have to put it into action.
Yeah,
And
I've always said I've always said to local officials that I'm not the smartest guy or the brightest light on the tree or anything else, but just through experience, that I don't even offer words of wisdom, as I've told some town officials. And this is just words of experience that I'm telling you, that if you do this, this is what's going to happen. I'm not telling you not to do it, not telling you to do it, but this is what could happen and how we can get things done together and move from that way. And I think that's important. Everybody, I know when they threw me out, they said, we need change, we need change. And I always said, change what? Our bond rating, change our growth in the community, change the way we're moving, keeping our taxes down. And so people have to understand too, change for the sake of change isn't always good. Sometimes it is very good, but many times it's hard to explain in politics, but
well, I think it's performance. Talk is, as my mother used to say, talk's one thing, doing it's another. Like I always say, I'll do better next semester, and she would say, yeah, right. No, she yeah, but no, but seriously, when you think about all the years, the issues, from getting a tree cut down in a block to getting mass MoCA. I mean, that was the great mass MoCA with a Republican governor, right? Think about it. That, John, that was a great piece of legislation and work.
Well, that was actually three Republican governors. We had Weld, we had Cellucci, and then we had Jane Swift.
I forgot Sue.
And we all depended upon them, and that was important.
Yeah.
Getting a bridge, getting these things done. There's a lot of bridge problems going on around now, but we tried to stay on top of it and do those things. But my biggest fun was going out with the crews and doing snow removal. I don't miss it, believe me, I don't miss it. But I had fun with them because, boy, we cleaned those streets up and they'd be bare. And the other thing too, when I left office, they said, oh, he cooked the books. Well, I didn't cook any books, as they found out and as they accused me of, because I was able to keep the taxes down.
Right.
And able to do things and creative ways of doing things we looked at all the time, and it worked. It's but I'll tell you one thing. Do I have a lot of regrets in my style? Oh boy, do I ever.
Yeah.
And I look back and I said, you dumb jerk, when I thought about things. But you get wrapped up into it sometimes and you forget what it's all about. But it's been a marvelous trip, and
Well, you
and
brought a lot to the table. You really have, and not because we're friends and I've known you a long time. You brought a lot to the table, and every year that you were in office, you gained more experience. And I think you actually realized that there was an evolution. Maybe when you first went in as mayor, you wouldn't even considered mass MoCA. But then all of a sudden, the world starts to fall apart. You lose all these wonderful companies. I drove by GE yesterday, and there's one little pile left of all of those buildings. And yes, there was this, and yes, there was that. But you know what? A lot of people made a wonderful living off of General Electric with basically high school educations and high school vocational And same, I worked at Beloit Corporation. The same thing. They're gone, and it's kind of sad. It really is kind of sad. And yes, they did some things, but I think a lot of times no one knew they were doing it. I have to believe that. It's just me.
Yeah, the I always called. I can remember standing out in front of the gates at 5:30, 6 in the morning, greeting the workers going in during a campaign, and we were always referred to them as the Lunch Bucket Brigade.
That's
They were
it.
going into work. I remember standing there and at Sprague and North Adams, Arnold Printworks, and Adams, and all those places, shaking those hands. And the biggest foundation I got, and I think formed my political feelings on a lot of things, probably to the point of being obnoxious to some people, is that everybody forgets the middle class. I had the opportunity to work in my father's restaurant for, every morning because we had split
There they
sessions back
were.
in 7th and 8th grade. They were in there every morning. They were in there having breakfast, husbands and wives. Going over to Sprague and North Adams or Hunter Machine, even the tannery that was still in operation at Wall Street or the shoe place,
Great
and all
shoes.
they wanted, they worked hard. And they had a meal with their kids every night, and all they wanted was an education for their kids,
Yeah.
and have it better than what they had it. And I'll tell you, it was just a marvelous to see it all. I mean, it was great. And those were my heroes, and they always were. I've never forgotten them because I do think they're forgotten now, the middle class,
Oh, absolutely.
and they're being squeezed. They're being squeezed with these electric rates that we're seeing out there. And I want to know why we have higher electric rates is because Massachusetts didn't address this. Prior generations didn't address the problem we have. We
Yeah.
have the second highest rates in the country, and something's got to be done, but it's going to get higher. We all want to take care of our environment, and I'm a strong believer in that, but we have to do it in a way that is affordable and make sure that we think through. The most
Right,
important thing in
right.
politics, yeah. The most important thing in politics is if you make a decision or you move forward on something, what is the result going to be of your decision? Not so much in the legislature, it's important, but it's because it's a body voting. But when you're a mayor, if you decide you're going to do something, what is going to be the impact of that decision? And I think that's the biggest thing I always said to the up and coming people that want to serve in government or elected office or anything else. Think of what the impact's going to be and who you're going to impact when you make this decision. That isn't done a lot today,
No.
and it's too bad. They get these crazy ideas.
You get these people, and I've said this before on air, but all these people cut taxes, cut taxes. Time out, time out. You say we're an aging city, we're an aging county. What are you doing to address the aging problem? If you close fire stations, you just delayed response to an aging person. If you lay off police officers, I mean, no, I don't want high taxes. Nobody wants high taxes. But what I do know in the city of Pittsfield, I'm an old man with some medical issues. If I go down within 6 minutes, at most, I'll have well-trained paramedic firefighters and police and ambulance at my house. There you go.
Oh, absolutely. And here's a big thing I've got with this housing bill that came out, and I spoke to the Secretary of Housing about this. And this is a real problem that a lot of political leaders don't think about, whether it's at the state level or at the local level. But here in Berkshire County, we do not have affordable assistant care facilities that can people that they're not ready to go into the nursing home, and I hope they never have to. But they're in a position where they just need some help along the way. And I think that we don't have any of that. Do they have it for the more wealthy? Yes. But do they have it for that middle class person who's living on Social Security and maybe a small pension from one of the companies that they worked at? But that's where we have a real problem now. And how does that help the housing crisis? Well, it takes people out of the homes that they can no longer live in. They can't
Exactly.
do the maintenance. They can't do the mowing of the lawn, shoveling of the snow, and all those things that go with owning a home, and the affordability factor, of course. So if you can allow a place for those people to go into an assisted living center where they can receive excellent care, then they're not in a nursing home setting. They're in a setting that allows them to live in an apartment, basically. But there's medical facilities available and things like that. We need more of that. So, but that frees up housing for the next generation that's coming along, and those are things that are so important. But nobody talks about it, and I'm saying to myself, how come? And I said that to the secretary. Make you want to give tax credits to developers that'll come in because it's risky, for them to do some of this stuff. I don't have any problem with that. If it can produce results that we need, that's going to better the lives of the people that live in my district anyways, but hopefully in the larger community of Berkshire County.
Well, Peter Marchetti and that group, they or the city, they and the council, they have a thing now where elderly, you can sign up if you're a young, person and you live near someone who's elderly, you can like me, you can help shovel, or you can shovel. But you're exactly right, and you see it as you drive around the city. I've lived in this neighborhood for a very long. And you see some of the houses going down. Why? Because the people in them are 80, late 70s. They just, first of all, the cost of everything, but they don't have the oomph to do it themselves. I mean, I had to wait for my son to come for Christmas with his kiddos to take the air conditioner. I can't lift it anymore. And so, I mean, I know exactly what you're saying. And I applaud you as a legislator for it seeing that, and we have to stop the hemorrhaging of people. I mean, I can't tell you how many of our peers are gone.
Oh,
They've North, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, Texas. We've got to figure ways of doing it. And I've made this analogy before. I'd like to make it one more time with your permission. When Spectrum raised their box rate, or $7 a box, or whatever it was, we were at a public hearing, and this lady stood up and she said, "It may not seem like a lot to you, but I'm on a fixed Social Security," and she said what it was. It wasn't very much, and she said, "In that, I have to pay my medical co-pays. I have to get my medicine. Blah 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 blah." She said, "It may not seem a lot to you, but it could be groceries to me, co-pay to me." And I think we have to get into that mindset. What about the people who want to have Spectrum or want to have television, cable, and just can't afford it anymore? I mean, I get the every time the bill comes in, believe me, the Polish princess sits me down and goes over it.
Yeah, and we should be doing more in government to teach people how they can stream. They don't have to pay as much. You can cut costs,
Right.
things like that. And it's not happening, to be very honest with you. I've taken on the cause, and I was in a position as mayor that I had a little bit of juice. I don't have any juice in this area. All I can do is keep bringing it to the attention of those that can do something and hope that they do it. I mean, all of the communities in Berkshire County are going to be signing another 10-year contract with Spectrum. And it's not in the best interest, I don't believe. But I've become very frustrated by the situation, and I'm angry because they are not filling the requirements that have been asked of the government, and they're being paid for it to extend broadband service to areas that don't have it. And I'm not happy with that whole situation, and I have battles with the I don't the right now the government in Massachusetts and federal money, $147 million that they're spending, and they're not spending it effectively. The ones that are making money are the Spectrums and the Comcast. And imagine, I'll give you an example. You go into community A, Spectrum says, okay, we'll go in there. Here's our cost estimate of what it's going to cost. The government pays for it. And they got new customers. It didn't cost them a penny to get these new damn customers. I don't mean that in a bad way. But they to get these customers, and now they have it for the rest of the lifetime of, or life the activity, I guess, how long
Right.
it lasts, and they collect the money, and the government paid for putting it up, and they should. And I'm telling you what I said to the guy at the MBI and others down there: why shouldn't Spectrum be required that they have to freeze their rates because they had no capital costs about it? Well, we can't do it. We just got to get this out. Blah 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 blah. I am so sick and tired of bureaucrats saying this stuff. They don't give a damn about the people when they're doing it, and it just annoys me. So when you see Spectrum out there, they keep increasing the rates every year, far more than what they should be. But when you pay for them to put in all this stuff, the government pays it. They're going into the town of Florida now and doing it there. They're in other communities, doing it, and the government's paying for it. They get to keep those customers. That equipment becomes theirs. And it's going into business and never having to put in a penny of their own money. So why don't they reduce the cost to the people for a 5-year period or a gradual increase? They may never, but you can't increase your rates more than 1% a year for the next 10 years, things like that, because it's changed out there now. But internet is way higher than it should be.
Thank you for that, and I don't disagree. We are going to have to take a break. I am here, in case you don't know. This is Representative John Barrett, Northern Berkshire, does a great job. Was the mayor of North Adams when Washington was president, and finally Washington. I don't know what happened to Washington, but John decided to run for the state house. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We are simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301. We will be right back. Happy New Year.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Hey, it's Sean from WTBR FM. Whether you just found this station for the first time or you've been listening for years, you might not know everything about WTBR-FM. Want to find out more? It's easy. Just go to WTBRFM.com. You can find full programming schedules, listen to the station anywhere in the world, subscribe to our podcasts, and even learn to create a program of your own. And of course, donate to the station. That's WTBRFM.com. Check it out today.
Greetings, this is John Pollock, host of The Jazz Train, which comes your way every Saturday night from 10 to 11:30. The Jazz Train generally features music recorded on a particular calendar date in years past and provides relevant commentary and discographical details. So why not join me for a ride on The Jazz Train for a weekly musical adventure, coming to you on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
We are back. The good-looking guy is not me. That's John Barrett. He is State Representative John Barrett. He's from the Northern Berkshires. He was the mayor of North Adams for a very long time. And I would, so you know, I consider him a friend. So now, what do we have to look forward to in 2025 down there in Boston?
Well, I don't know. They're going to continue to move the electrical rates problem. I see that as a big problem.
It's
what a lot of people don't understand, that when they deregulated back in 1996, I believe, that they can now get rate increases with the DPU. People will call me up, for instance, and say, why is my electric bill so high? And what's this charge? And what's this charge? And I say, anything that the electric companies do, whether it's Eversource or whether it's National Grid or some other company, they can charge it to the people. Now they're putting up electric charging stations throughout the state. That's fine. But guess who's paying for it? The ratepayer.
Yeah.
There's other kinds of fees on there all the time, and I understand the frustration of these people. I think the biggest thing that we were able to do was get aggregation in every community out there who wants to avail themselves of it.
Yeah.
But the only problem is they were taking up to 2 years for a community to get in. I think there was something like a, oh God, I don't know, maybe a 22 cents different in the kilowatt hours with National Grid last year before they renegotiated to an aggregation. In other words, they were paying 9.9 cents, I believe, if you had an aggregation system. And I think that it was about 15, 16 cents, maybe more, might even been over 20 cents less than that. So it's educating people to look at the cheaper services out there. The other thing is, too, the gas company cannot put any new lines in anymore. Legislation, you know, that I saw and was involved in, but I didn't understand it that way, to be very honest with you. And they can't put in any new lines. They can upgrade the existing lines, but if you have a new street or new development being done, they can't put it in. LP gas is okay, but you can't put in new lines now. So it goes to electricity and electricity and these pump systems and everything else. And yes, it's better for the environment, I guess, but you got to do it in the right way.
Yeah, you got to be incremental. I through my career, I've had to implement a lot of change. And if you go in there with a hammer, you're going to have a real hard problem and the change may backfire. It's better to go in and incrementally put a piece in at a time. That's been my experience. All this, well, just cut off gas. No more cars. No more gasoline-powered cars. Well, what are you, stupid? Who's going to sit?
Well,
you and I remember sitting in line to get 5 gallons of gas. Remember that? How would you like to sit in line and wait for your car to charge for 4 hours or whatever it is?
Yeah, and it's just a crazy situation out there. In DPU, we had them in Pittsfield, I think, a year ago in November or December, and we raked them over the coals pretty good because they're the decision-making body. They're the biggest secret in state government. You have no idea what's going on. They've become a little more transparent. You know, everybody's worried about the legislature. Well, I can assure you right now, the legislature is not stealing money and taking it anyplace. They may not like our votes on how we spend the money, but that's fairly public.
Yeah.
But to worry about how the Speaker of the House picks his chairman of his committee is ridiculous. But I think that what we're seeing with the DPU is they're making these decisions. And I fought them and others in the legislature fought them. And we did bring about significant change. But when it takes a community like Windsor over 2 years to get approval to join an aggregation system, during that time, think about it, they were paying around, I don't know, 15, 16 cents more than what they had to pay if they were allowed to go in the aggregation. They were costing people money. And I'm saying, what the hell takes so long?
Well, in a way, I think you and I know the answer to that. But the other piece, and I don't want to drag you into a, but in a way, I agree with President Trump. Bureaucrats should not be making law. That's why we have legislative bodies. You know, what you just said, the DPU, who gave them the God Almighty power to set rates and not set rates?
That's the problem. That's the catch 22 in it. It was a legislature back in the late 90s that gave them that authority. And
but why?
I don't know. I wasn't there, and
I'm sorry, that was an unfair question. Here's my opinion. I think because that way they don't have to own the decision. That's my
probably.
let me do this to cover us. The views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Peter Marchetti in the mayor's office, Peter White, city council, and or the guy trying to ride his bicycle on the sidewalk in downtown Pittsfield. That's just my opinion. I think sometimes it's a preservation technique.
Yeah, I'm one of those that actually believes it's real, which sometimes is ridiculous, and I've just come to the I have to remember what I said many years ago, that if the decision that I make doesn't impact anybody in 5 years, then let's not worry about it.
Yeah.
It's just Some decision-making things are just absolutely crazy. We have now realized that new technology is coming along, just like we all rushed to wire our schools, you know, so that they could have hardwired internet service. Now, my God, you know, we never thought, well, gee, maybe wireless is coming along and we won't need all this stuff. And all that money was spent and wasted because it wasn't long after that that wireless came in. And we were able to do more. And even now we're able to do more with wireless internet and
security.
And so we have to look at those things now. But we're going through some very critical times. Even this internet, people getting hacked, people getting taken in by these robocallers, which what the problem is most of those robocalls are now being coming from overseas.
That's right.
You know, and people are getting caught at it. And, you know, we had an individual who lost over $400,000 this past year in a scam in North Adams. Terrible. And you know what? That person doesn't have any recourse but as soon as they gave him that money to the scammer, boom, was out of the country an hour later. Yeah. So, you know, we have to do more there. We really do. I don't know what the answer is. But I do know we have to do more.
It has to. You know, I will say this, and for the audience, there used to be a lady whose name escapes me right now. She was a wonderful consumer protection from the AG's office. She's retired. Don't answer your phone if you don't know who the if on a caller ID. If you don't, and I don't care if it's 413. I got two of them yesterday. 413, 442. One was from. A named person, I can't remember the name. And as soon as I answered it, I knew it wasn't a person. And so don't answer. If it's important, and if they leave you a message that doesn't sound right, call the police. We got a scam going on now, or it's the sheriff's department calling. Let it go. Call, if you want, call the sheriff's office. You just have to be on guard today, John. And these things, they're susceptible now. They're unbelievable. Computers,
AI is a technology out there now that's going to be really a problem. It's going to do great things, but it's also going to create problems. They can record your voice, my voice, and then have them call. And it sounds exactly like you or I. And you have to, you know, The old thing when you answer the robocall, never answer and say yes, because you know what? They record and they'll take that. Well, we got you saying yes. So there's a lot of things, but we can do more as a society to educate people. We're not doing enough. We're not doing enough with civics in our schools today. Passed a law in Massachusetts that requires it, but it's not what we thought it would be. There's got to be more of it. They've got to understand. I still have people that call me and think I'm a congressman, you know, and they don't understand. I mean, we've got to do more in that area and educate people so they know what's going on.
You know, you're 100% correct with that. They got to put teeth in this legislation that you put in about civics, because I will tell you, I'm sometimes appalled. I knew when I got to Washington on Capitol Hill, I knew how bills were created. I knew about ways and means. I knew about today, they don't have a clue. I watch these interviews on the street, you know, to some of these programs too. And I just to be part what was Plato. What did Plato say? If you don't party your government, you don't know or whatever, you're electing fools. I'll find it for you. But it never, you know, I so appreciate people like yourself to get in there and I got to say it for the whole legislature and the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Thank you for the veterans. We've always been way ahead of the curve with veterans. Civil service points and all kinds of things. But what the Heroes Act, it's an amazing gift, and it is a gift. And all that you're down there, I've said it before, I'll say it again. If the United States Congress would operate as efficient as the Massachusetts legislature, we'd probably get a lot more done. Just saying. That's my opinion.
Well, yeah, the we're you know, it's just like no matter who's Speaker of the House, he's going to be criticized or she's going to be criticized. No matter who's the legislator in government, they're going to be criticized. That's just part of the territory that you inherit. But we try. I try. We all try.
Well, yeah, you do. And I think, too, what do you see as the biggest challenges for this year coming up in the legislature?
I think the economy and seeing which way that's going to go. Is Trump going to get his tariffs in that he wants? I think that's going to impact people. But I still think that we are still fighting. It has nothing to do with the state legislature, but what's happening at the federal level is going to impact the state legislature and what we have to do. We have a lot of money in there. We have $8 billion in reserves for that rainy day fund.
Yep.
But I guess that it's like beauty. It's in the eye of the beholder. It's how we're going to use it. And but I do think the economy is still shaky. We don't know what's going on in our worldwide situation that we have to deal with is going to affect a lot of things. I think.
Yeah.
We reacted to the to a lot of the stuff that had to do with women's health issues. We reacted quite a couple of years ago immediately to protect women and the rights that they have as far as they're choosing their own health care, whether you're on the right side of that or the wrong side of that issue and your own thing. We voted to make sure that it was taken care of after it was taken away by the Supreme Court. So those are things about it. But I do think the next 2 years are going to be driven by the actions in Washington. I really do.
Oh, I don't doubt it. I also think that we have to be thoughtful, logical, and caring, but there's limits to each one of those. $8 billion to me is like a huge amount of money, but you as a legislator know we can go through that lickety-split.
Well, it's dealing with the immigrant problem and that has to be handled, but it also has to be handled at the federal level. Federal government has taken a walk on it, and it's really been that problem has been moved to the states and everything else. But it has to be dealt with, and I don't have the answer to it.
If I can say again, my opinion, unfairly moved to the states. That's just my opinion because I'm sure yours are too. My both sets of grandparents were immigrants, but that's my thing is it's really unfair to put the whole burden on the state.
Yeah, it is, and we've been crying for more money.
Yeah,
federal government to deal with this issue. And because they're the ones that are going to have to deal with it anyways. I don't believe in some of the tactics that are being used, it's an issue that's going to prevail for quite some time, and it has to be addressed because it's going to have a negative impact on a lot of things.
We've got to get the bad guys off the street. I don't care if they're good American-born immigrants or what. We got to get the bad guys off the street. When you read some of these immigrants that have committed crimes here, they've already been, it's kind of discouraging, but I don't want to spoil the new year. That's a fight down the road. And I think it should be, me to you, you don't have to agree with me, John, it should be a coordinated effort to get the bad guys off the street. Shouldn't be it just shouldn't be, So, what's your New Year's resolution going to be, buddy?
Patience. Patience.
Yeah.
Try to have patience.
I'm thinking, give me a minute. How many days will that last, the resolution? I plan on losing more weight, but I'm already stocking up for the after the first year.
Well, I gave up my modeling career a long time ago.
Yeah, me too. How about
I'm
me?
not worried about that, but I think that just patience, you know, in dealing with
Yeah.
some of these, you know, the governor when he was up here for the Great Lock Glen groundbreaking a couple of Julys ago, he said, if you know John Barrett, no one goes to from 0 to 60 faster than he does. So I want to dispel some of that stuff and just, but I do become very impatient with things. I want them to happen yesterday and rather than tomorrow.
But you're not impatient because it's John Barrett. You're impatient because it's the people. That's how no, I'm serious. That's how I read you. I'm the kind of the same way. What the heck? It's a no-brainer. What just take the vote. But then you find out, oh well, it is more than you. It's deeper than you. If I hear this one more time, I'm going to grow hair. It's deeper than you can comprehend. Really? Okay.
I guess.
So, well, I can't thank you enough for coming on. I wish you and yours really wonderful 2025. My resolution is I'm going to try to make it better for the people that I interact with and around me and everybody, because this John, the vitriol out there now is unbelievable. You know, I had to remind the family. They weren't going. I'm not going to my brother-in-law's. He bought it for you, and I said, "Well, I'm not going to my brother's because he died." So you don't know if your brother-in-law's going to be there tomorrow or you're going to be here tomorrow. So, and it's me saying to the Irish mother used to say, "Nothing, nothing comes above family. Nothing above or before family." And I think we try to live with that.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more because, you know, in the end, they're the only ones that are going to be there for you is your family. And sometimes we take it for granted. You know, we had funerals in North Adams this past week, actually, a couple weeks ago, that we buried two young ladies who were snatched from us for no good reason. And they're not going to be here for 2025. So let's prepare ourselves that
Right.
the future is uncertain, but you know what? You could be nice to people in getting there, and
Yeah.
that I think that's a lot. I'm as guilty as anybody. Don't take these things for granted. I've just seen age is wonderful, but it also allows us to see a lot more things than we want. That's one of the bad things about aging is that you have to go to more wakes and funerals and
That's
things like
right.
that.
I will leave
So
you with this. I used to say to my father, who was a firefighter, would come home in uniform. We'd have supper. He'd change into a tie, shirt, sport coat, and go to a wake at least 3 times a week. And I used to say, Dad, what's going on? You're always going to wakes. He said, pray that you live long enough to do the same. Think
yeah,
about
you're
that.
right there. But on a serious note and a good note, I wish everybody a very, very happy new year and the 2025 that's filled with nothing but good things.
And John, right back at you for myself and my entire family, and to the legislature for all the positive that they've done for the people of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, most especially veterans. God bless. Take care of each other. Think about it. Think about it. Each other's all that we have in this world. Help take care of somebody. Lift somebody's burden today. You know, nobody go. It's me saying to the Irish mother would say, nobody goes through this world unscathed. Be well, John. Happy New Year. Thank you for this. Appreciate it.
You too.